Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It does. Settles in your soul. It does.
It does not.
Is my mic on?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear
me? We can hear you without a mic, so it doesn't matter.
Thanks, Wen.
The rest of us normal people have to raise our voice.
Wen is always a great source of stress. Yes, anyway.
I do my best.
So, morning, Travis.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How you doing, Travis?
Really good. Really good.
Good.
Thank you.
See, you're doing great because you're wearing a Jefferson shirt.
Oh, you know it.
Looks good on you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
It does. Goes with your hat.
There you go.
Of course.
thanks for keeping us out of trouble, and watch the button for Terry.
No, I'm in one of those moods. I didn't sleep very good last night.
I got it set.
Got to be a ninja.
Just to explain to the folks who don't know all the innuendo going on here, the deal is that there is a button. It's a red button, and you hit that button, and because we have a delay on this program, that's why when you call in, it's 605-4567, 605-4567. When you call in, you need to turn your radio off because there's a delay in case somebody says a bad word.
No, it's supposed to be a cough button, but we use it for bad words for you.
We use it for bad words. Nobody coughs on this program.
Because we don't have
a no-coughing zone.
It's technically called the dump button.
We don't do any dumping in here. They do that on the city street.
Anyway, we're here today, Wynn,
yes,
and
sir.
Myself. And Travis, we're here with Gary Brewster. How are you doing, Gary?
Very good.
And Jesse Lane.
Morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
My adopted nephew. You know, I used to look like Jesse. My chest was where my chest was, not where my stomach is now.
I always get told I'm a young Terry Raposa with my attitude.
Uh-oh. You have a long... Oh,
that's great. That explains the phone calls from the government.
You have a long, hard life ahead of you, boy.
I know. I was looking at my future me across the table.
Don't like him too much. You might get your power shut off.
Exactly.
Anyway, my brother, Jesse Lane, tell people a little something about yourself, kiddo.
Well, I'm a born and raised here, in Shasta Lake. I lived here my whole life, and father... I got three kids. One's in the military and the Navy, wow. Intelligence specialist in the Navy. I just work. Love my country. I miss the childhood I had for my children. That's why I kind of got involved with everything. Is because I grew up riding my bikes around town and living life to the fullest as a kid with holes in my knees and dirt on my face. And it seems our kids lost that. Not just because technology, like we all want to blame it on, but our kids lost that because we don't live in the safe community we used to live in.
Because of all the creeps out there?
I mean, Your kid slides down the slide and they land at the bottom of the slide or they can get poked with a heroin needle at the bottom of the slide. I mean, our parks are littered with feces and hypodermic needles. And we are doing nothing to change it.
That's right.
Yeah, I think we've talked before, and we'll talk more on this program, about constitutional sheriffs. That seems to be a term that is thrown around rather loosely. I think I've known one and a half my whole life, actually two and a half. One is Sheriff Richard Mack, who's definitely a constitutional sheriff. The other one is Gil Gilbertson. He was the sheriff of Josephine County, wonderful guy. About 8 years ago, my wife and I used to travel with sheriffs to different counties, and we had it was a group that was called Support Rural America, and we'd have these venues with these sheriffs. And I remember John Lopey, who was maybe one of the biggest disappointments of a sheriff I've ever met. John Lopey had made the statement that of late, because of the government overreach at the time, this was just after the second or third year of the Obama administration, I swore to protect the Constitution of the United States and to protect my citizens from threats both foreign and domestic. Unfortunately, they've been more domestic of late. Well, unfortunately, John Lopey never really was that constitutional sheriff. Liked to talk about it a lot. Gil Gilbertson was. In fact, Gil Gilbertson deputized his whole county at one particular point because he was down to seven sheriffs because the Board of Supervisors was, well, they call it up in Josephine County, they call their Boards of Supervisors commissioners, local commissioners.
So he was down to seven deputies?
Down to seven deputies. And so he just said, hey, we can only come unless it's life-threatening. You guys got open carry. Use it if you need to use it. And, you know, eventually they pushed him out. The first thing that the new sheriff did when he came in is bought all new office furniture. Wanted to help those people, right? Got a raise.
Wow.
So we now look at where we are in Shasta County, and we look at constitutional sheriffs. And, Jesse, I want to kind of run this by you a little bit. What do you believe a sheriff should be doing in this government overreach and these people from the government going into businesses? What is it that you believe he should be doing, which is the right thing to do?
Well, I guess I look at it like this. Our sheriff, he's definitely walked this line where he doesn't want to fret on the Board of Supervisors, takes pictures with the Board of Supervisors. There's corruption we already have from our Board of Supervisors. Where's our sheriff? He's supposed to be the highest-ranking official in our county for all these different things. I mean, that's the guy that's supposed to be going out and making sure everything's copacetic. And I feel, you know, unfortunately, I feel he's not. He doesn't let us know where he is on the side of our Constitution. He just walks that fine line to keep his support. Personally, you guys know me. You know how I feel. I don't feel he got in there the way he should have got in there. He was elected by the Board of Officials, or what terms we'd use that he got in there. I still think that Green was cheated out of that election process, and there should have been an investigation into that.
Well, what happened is that in 2018, which happens to be the same year that a former sheriff bought some property in Idaho, in 2018 there was a law passed, and the law said that if a sheriff resigns before his term is due and he retires early, that the Board of Supervisors, I don't know if it's a mayor shall, but I think it's a shall, appoint the next sheriff. So what they did is they followed that law in 2018, and you're exactly right, my friend. Had it been before 2018, we would have had a special election. But now, because of the wonderful state of California that we live in, there was a law passed where now that isn't the case. So the Board of Supervisors says, okay, we have five people we're going to talk to, and Green was one of them. And they picked the guy that our former sheriff really thought should be the guy, who is basically the next in line. Now, the same thing happened with, remember, we talked about our constitutional sheriff, John Lopey? Yep. Same thing happened there in Siskiyou County. However, the young man that went there, he seems to be pretty good, according to my good friend Mark Baird. Well, so we've got a little hope for him. But the idea now, Jesse, is that how are we ever going to elect or have an election for another sheriff in the state of California if these guys all retire early, right?
Yep.
And then they're appointed by you rubber stamping them as the ex-sheriff, you rubber stamp the guy. How's that going to work?
So now I just, City of Shasta Lake City Council is going through the same thing where Larry Farr had passed away. And Larry Farr, his position was up. Well, it was up to the city council to vote on whether they were going to hold a special election, which would cost the city, they said, up to $78,000, $80,000, or if they were going to them vote to appoint someone in there. So, of course, city council said, no, we don't want to spend this money. We'd rather spend this money, you know, building little gardens and parks outside each one of our houses instead of fixing the roads. So they kind of did that, and they voted that they're going to have applicants come in there, and they will decide who the next city council person is for City of Shasta Lake.
That's wrong. So how come the sovereign citizens of Shasta Lake City don't get riled up and go march on City Hall and say, what the hell? Because your voice is being diminished then. As a sovereign citizen of Shasta Lake City, you have no voice in who is going to be appointed to your next city council.
Well, here's the problem with it, even, is it's not going to happen at a regular board of a regular city council meeting. It's going to happen on a special election meeting because they say it'll take away from the time for all the other agenda items. So now, is this going to be a closed meeting? They haven't said if it's a closed meeting and citizens aren't allowed to come in there. So at this point, you just have someone sitting in front, or
And
not sure
what's
about
going on. COVID. Have it outside. Like, there's always a way.
Well, you've got really? The park right down the street.
Yeah, and there's probably plenty of masks got, on the ground you can that, pick up and use.
Have it in Walmart. You can get as many people in there as you want.
Probably more. Oh my gosh. So I don't understand then. Why would they even think that's even remotely okay? Because they all got voted in, didn't they? I mean, we have to question that. Did any of them get appointed? And if that's the case, why are they taking this and acting like royalty to do such a thing? Because they're going to have so many candidates, however many decide to throw their hat in the ring, and then let the citizens vote that in. And it's really easy. They can go through and figure out who voted in the last election. They can figure out all that stuff. All that information is at the Registrar of Voters office, and they can just do a little bit of homework and figure it all out. And they will actually know how many ballots that need to be sent out and all that good stuff. It can't cost $80,000. That's ridiculous. That's about the amount of money that it costs for a district, not just a city.
Yeah, so it's they said that 18 months, the person that comes in will take over the next 18 months left on Larry Farr's.
Mm. Right.
So
We'll come back to that subject. We're going to get Gary in here to weigh in on this, but we're going to come back to that subject, and that's a good place to leave it because we want to talk about what happens if somebody is picked for that 18 months. So with that, we're going to go off to our first break. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them? Just help me, Lord, to climb. You don't have to move and stumble and block. Just show me the way around it.
Good. Yeah. That's Sally. Hey, Betty. Good
you,
music.
Sally.
Thank you, Sally.
Was Sally singing?
No. Sally sings everything in the key of L.
Love you, Sally.
I know that we got Gary smiling over there. He's a musician, so he knows there is no key of L. It's the key of love, brother. Key of love.
Late at night, there's lots of keys at L.
There it is. You got it, man. Yeah, we were talking about the city council and how they now select people. But here's the caveat to all that. I'm not sure if, because we were talking during the break, I'm not sure if the Board of Supervisors has a shall or a may when it comes to the position of bringing in a new sheriff. I think it's a shall. I don't think it's a may. Maybe somebody can call in or put in the chat room and correct that for me.
Is that a law that was mandated by the legislature of California?
No, it had to be because it's a law. It had to be. I mean, it wasn't. This is like pre-COVID, where you know. I know Newsom is now making up his own laws, but
so it's not constitutional then.
No,
that's what we're saying.
No,
just because it's law doesn't make it constitutional.
Well, just because it's law, just because it's legal, it doesn't mean it's law.
Correct.
It's good law, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I want to get back to the city council thing up in Shasta Lake City. And the thing that I wanted to bring up was that a lot of times, like you were saying, Jesse, that the person would serve out the remaining 18 months of this gentleman who passed away's term. Now, the deal with that is that what happens with incumbents in the state of California? Their reelection rate is about 96%. That's why, like, McGreeny gets in as sheriff, right? As long as he isn't rocking the boat, you know, and he's pleasing the right people. Hey. You know?
Is that because people are lazy in general and just want to go with the flow? Or they're?
I know that was meant as a snarky remark.
Yes.
And it was a good one.
Yes.
It was a good one, brother.
Well, it brings up every issue we're having right now, laziness and ignorance, I guess, is a good word, too.
Yep.
And that's what's great about, man, what's going on right now. People's eyes are opening, and it's hard to see everything. There's just too much going on. But, man, we're looking, and that's exciting for the first time in my life.
Even if a fraction of what we're seeing is true, it's wrong.
True.
A fraction.
Which is true, after all those
on every level, it doesn't matter what level of government it is, if a fraction of it's true, it's wrong.
Absolutely.
And it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed immediately, and there need to be consequences for that.
Absolutely. And there's probably a little truth to every conspiracy, every little wormhole you
hear
about.
Yep.
It came from somewhere. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, people are people and blow everything out of.
I know
emotion.
That.
I almost cussed. Sorry, I don't want to.
Oh, you can. We got a dumb
you
button.
You got the dumb button.
Yeah. But it still goes online.
It's hard to not talk about this stuff and get upset.
We don't care because the only person that gets in trouble is Carl. Just kidding, Carl.
No, Travis.
Just kidding.
Travis is like, I get in trouble.
Don't worry, brother.
Terry will buy your way out of trouble, then.
Yeah.
Travis. No problem.
Yeah. We'll throw our bodies over you.
Yeah, Terry will do that.
So you're protected. But I know how to get protection.
Yeah, I hear there's guys that go bumping a night when they have to deal with the cancel culture.
Yeah. There's some friends you have, you don't ask them about things.
That's right.
But anyway, yeah, the thing is that as we, you know, as we look at the constitutional sheriff thing and get back to that, the sheriff's job is to stand between tyranny, overreach of the Constitution, and to protect the citizens that he is representing. That's the job. And there is a lot of things that are legal but not lawful, and things that are law that are not really legal lawfully. And I know that may have sound like kind of like a tongue twister, but that's the truth.
It's interesting.
Yeah, because when you stop and think about it, what's lawful? Okay, as we look at the California Constitution, which is a female dog to read. Huh? I saved the butt. I did, didn't I? Okay. So, you know, if you look at that and you look at the Constitution of the United States, there's an intertwining deal there, which a lot of people don't know. And that's Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution specifically states that the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land. And California is an inseparable part of that. What that means is, the California Constitution, if it's in conflict with the United States Constitution trumps, no pun intended, or maybe,
pun intended.
Trumps the Constitution of the State of California. And so that's the deal with that, which is kind of an interesting deal. Well, it goes on in the California Constitution to say that basically there in the first five articles, it goes and talks about all the rights we have, which are more rights that we have in our state constitution that expand on the rights we have in the United States Constitution. So the first five chapters of the California Constitution are dynamite. So let's get back to this sheriff. The sheriffs have to be protecting the people from interposition. So let's say that that Gary owns a bar, which he probably could. Okay, so Gary owns a bar. Well, maybe not. Okay, but let's just say he owns a bar. And you serve food. Okay, that better?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay, so you own a bar and you serve food.
I've more just supported bars than my...
Oh, okay, well, let's just say you own one. We're having some fun.
Indirectly, you own them.
So we're going to have some fun here.
It all goes to PG&E.
Yeah, right. Well, he supports you on his own. And then he brings his fat old uncle in, and that's, you know, the guy on the bar stool. All right, so anyway, what happens is that you own this, and ABC is coming in there trying to overstretch their authority. It shouldn't be up to folks in the militia or related to the militia who would go in there and intercede for the constitutional rights and could. It should be up to the sheriff. The sheriff should be interceding. The sheriff should be there standing between tyranny, government overreach. Why? Because it may be legal, but it's not lawful. Why is it not lawful? It's not lawful because what trumps legal and what trumps lawful in the state? The United States Constitution and the state constitution, which agrees with it. Now, what we have here is we have one of the people who we all admire, the guy who kind of started this whole thing.
It's his fault.
It's his fault. Kemosabe, what say you?
I didn't do it unless somebody saw me.
I live by the same principle.
Yeah, I'm at work and I'm way far away from there, so I couldn't listen leading up to this, but I just had a thought. It looks like Newsom may be departing the property early, which is a great thing. But now all of the former Republican cockroaches are coming out from under the baseboards, and now that people have done a ton of work for them, they are going to throw their hat in the ring like John Cox and guys like that. But, you know, what I'm thinking is, if we could identify a conservative candidate who's truly a conservative, and then as Jefferson, let's approach whoever this person is and tell them, hey, we'll help you get elected if you help us get our own state after you get elected, and we want it in writing.
In blood.
Yeah,
in writing. These guys are all liars.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You know, I know that we have probably, what, 1.5 million on the recall for Newsom? But we need 1.9 million because they're going to screw up at least 500,000 of those.
Well, we need people to go there and to
go, so that's looking good.
We need people to go and be there when they're going through and vetting the signatures. We need to have people in there with them because that is our constitutional duty. We need to make sure that they are not just throwing signatures out that are valid in every county. That needs to absolutely happen.
How do you get on that recall list if you're wanting to do that?
You mean how do you sign?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll fix you up.
Okay. I mean, how would everybody out there do that if they wanted?
They can go to the website. They can go to
recallnewsom.com.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they
go right in there and sign it. Yeah. And there's people everywhere. I mean, if you go to Jones Fort, there's a petition there.
That makes it.
And Sally, if you could, maybe you could get on the chat room and send Wynn some of the locations where people can sign the Gavin Newsom recall. Oh, Dill's Deli. There's some patriots right there. What great people they are, man.
Oh, yeah.
You can go to recallgavin2020.com. Recallgavin2020.com. And then you can do some searches in there to get the signature sheets that you can print out. You can sign yourself. And you can get 10 of your best friends to sign it and move on.
You know, and I actually had a question with that because I've seen these different recalls, recall news and things popping up on the streets. And kind of my thought is I've signed one. You know, the person I knew was you know, a patriot who I knew they were going to do the right thing with my signature. I know we can't just sign every one of these, but what stops some of these paid workers from, you know, we were outsmarted. We've been outsmarted by some of these, by the left for a while now. And I see a left guy on the left jumping in and collecting 1,000 signatures and taking them and throwing them away. And that's 1,000 people
bonfire.
They only get paid for the signatures they collect.
But maybe they're not worried about getting paid. Maybe it's about fooling us again.
Maybe they're getting paid more not to.
Exactly.
You know, and then now I'm not going to sign another one because I already signed one.
Right.
So that's kind of where I'm at with this is, you know, where are we at with that? How do we know?
Jones Fort's the right one.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Oh, I agree 100%.
So that's why I said, you know, if we get some local people here and, you know, you other people out in the other counties, you know where your people are. I mean, Viv is out there in Placer County. She's amazing. I think she gets like 200 a day. You can't leave her table unless you sign it. if you want to leave with all your body parts. You know, but we need more people like that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of women standing up, and there's a lot of men that don't.
Yeah, they let the women do all the work.
The women do all the work, excluding my two friends in here and many other people, Mark Baird, many other people. There's a lot of good men out there, but it seems like a lot of the ladies are stepping up and doing this stuff, and we need to stand. I mean, Mark, you've always said it, and you're so right. I mean, you know, are you going to just take the scraps off the table, being chained to the table?
Well,
are you going to take the scraps?
I had a guy call me last night, in fact, and I was at work and in a motel, a nondescript motel here working, and a guy called me last night, and he's a master's student in Tennessee, and I don't know if he ever contacted you, but that was the oddest request I've ever had. I've never had anybody ask me to do this before, but I'm kind of embarrassing even to repeat it. He wanted to buy a T-shirt or a hat or something, wanted me to sign it. I said, I don't know why you want some old fart to sign your hat for you, but all right, get a hat and send it to me. I'll sign it. But anyway, we got into the conversation. He's a master's student in history in Tennessee, and his minor is political science or some other thing. And, you know, he was describing to me the hell that he goes through on a college campus, as a conservative, and he's a religious conservative, and his family is from rural Tennessee, and they have values, and you know, so on. And he said, you know, I'm to where I can't talk to people. I have to hide the fact that I'm a conservative. I have to hide the fact that I'm a Christian. And I said, you're hiding that stuff? I said, you know, I have some bad news for you, young fella. You need to stand, because if you don't stand now, you won't ever stand. And I said, and the course of study that you've chosen for yourself put you in direct confrontation with these progressive leftists who want to change history, change political science, change the character of this nation. And if you don't get used to standing, you aren't going to make it. And how will you look your God in the eye and say, oh, yeah, Lord, I'm a Christian, but I never spoke about it, and I never admitted it, and I never talked about it in public?
Couldn't be more true.
I mean, you have to stand. You have to. Is it hard? Yes. Is it going to be easy? Never. Could it cost you something? Absolutely. If it doesn't cost you something, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen to that. That's
the only answer.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And you know, that's been the issue for the longest time. I mean, you know, a lot of people go out there and and you've done this, my friend, so many times. I mean, Mark has probably spoken, I don't know, 1,000 town halls. I don't know, just not hundreds and hundreds of interviews with everybody you can think of. And, you know, we'll get people. I don't think I've been to one single time when we've had a town hall, Mark, where you spoke and you didn't get a standing ovation. And you got the guy in the front row, oh, yeah, let's get him. And then you don't hear another thing from him.
Yep.
They're off doing something else. Or you get the moron who says, well, they can come get me and take pry the gun out of my cold, dead hands. I got a long driveway. Well, here's a clue for you, buddy. Probably whack you at 2,000 yards, and you'll never know what hit you. So the deal is that, you know, it's all about kind of being smart on this stuff, too. And I think that, you know, we're sort of in the educational process. I'm too old and too fat to carry a 50 caliber up a hill. So the deal is that, you know, our young people, like the two young gentlemen I'm with here today, they're the future. These two guys are the guys that stand up. These are the guys that have the courage to do it. They have stones of iron.
Now remember that. Okay, we have
stones
to go.
Stones of iron.
We have to go off to our
break.
We have to go off to a next break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Stay with us, Mark, if you can, brother.
All right.
All right.
Time has come.
For 51.
Get her done.
Yes, sir.
Never too late to achieve your dream, to turn a skill into a career. At Shasta College, we have late start classes right now and online classes where the commute from the couch to the class has never been easier. We're also offering 8-week compressed classes, same units, half the time. Now is the right time to upskill or reskill for high-demand jobs employers are hiring for. Find out more. Visit ShastaCollege.edu today.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
At Redding Electric Utility, we recognize the value of education and the impact it can have on our families and our community. Interested in pursuing a career in science, technology, engineering, or math? Start by applying for a college scholarship or technical school grant offered by Redding Electric Utility. For more information about available scholarships and grants, visit cityofreading.org/RU scholarships. Applications must be submitted by March 10, 2021. Your future looks bright.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Travis, come on, where are the moves, man?
I was moving, you didn't see
it? No. Ninja moves.
Hey.
No, you know? I like Bruce Hornsby.
Oh, someone, yeah, I mean,
someone,
love him.
I play piano. People say I play a lot like his style, and I didn't know who he was in my 20s.
Now you play piano?
Oh, yeah, I've been playing forever.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Wow, that's cool.
What we should have for breaks right there is you get a little keyboard in there.
I'm down. We got one. We'll get one in there.
Gary's a musician, too. So, and then we've got Jimmy.
Yeah.
Are you a drummer? No.
Guitar.
Guitar. Okay. And Jimmy's a drummer.
I'm originally a sax player.
Oh,
really?
Man. Yeah. We could definitely work out the key.
Oh, how fun would that be?
Let's do it.
We are starting a band here. The Beatles move over.
Yeah, the Beatles.
The Beatles. But anyway, yeah, getting back to our program. Sorry about digressing a little bit there. We were talking during the break about some things. What we have to do is understand things start locally. And I think that's the main gig here. Shasta County has been a focal point. We're going to continue to be a focal point because people are standing up.
Well, let's go back to where you were talking about before when Jesse was talking about the City Council of Shasta Lake City. When are they going to decide this, that they're going to either appoint somebody or they're going to have an election? Or have they decided this?
They already decided. They decided that at the last city council meeting.
Okay. So have they told everybody in the community that they're going to do that? They're going to...
They told whoever was there and whoever watched watched it on video, on the podcast or whatever they do there.
And was the local news there?
No. No local news, just the couple people that had ran for it before that were there.
Uh-huh.
I believe it's supposed to be on the city website.
Okay.
And, yeah, so.
Interesting. So they're doing it essentially in plain sight but under the dark of night at the same time.
Absolutely.
Huh. Interesting. It'd be kind of cool if, you know, maybe some media outlets picked this up and went and talked to them and had a little chat about it.
Well, I'm gonna throw my hat. I'm going to throw my name in the hat. So we'll see what happens. Pretty doubtful with someone who I opposed. When I was trying to get Patrick Jones in there, his wife's a mayor, so I don't see me being her first pick. I took a soccer league over from her, and I don't think they're too happy with what I have to say with what I saw.
Well, you know, truth is can be very compelling sometimes, and sometimes you need to have that right in your face to, you know, do corrective action. And if she hasn't done any corrective action, then that's on her.
Absolutely.
And it citizens, won't be, citizens need to know that.
It won't end here. I mean, that's the thing locally is we're not going to, you know, there's a lot of us that are stepping up. I mean,
yeah.
There's a younger generation that's finally getting involved.
Hallelujah.
And
that's what it's going to take.
It is. It is. It definitely is.
It's also what our future needs.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, you've got the kids. Hey, I mean,
hey, guys, I got a little piece of news on the Second Amendment lawsuit, if you got a minute for
yes,
that.
Yes,
oh, yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Mark. Yeah.
We actually identified a plaintiff that lives in the Southern District. So,
oh, good.
It's an Army colonel whose credentials are impeccable. I mean, this guy's a stand-up guy, very very serious player and brave individual as well. But also, he is currently a plaintiff in Road v. Becerra, which is the ammo ban lawsuit. Mm. So he has credentials. He knows how to act. He's just coming off deployment from the Middle East, and he's decompressing with his family for a couple of weeks. And once he gets finished with that, then we're going to have a series of meetings and add him as a plaintiff to the Second Amendment lawsuit, which is Baird versus Becerra. And then we're going to refile the preliminary injunction in federal court for the Southern District, so San Diego, basically. And we're hoping to get Judge Benitez, who has delivered several favorable Second Amendment rulings in the last 2 years, pending the outcome of Young versus Hawaii and the other cases that the court is passing the ball on. But I had a discussion with our new sheriff, and he's a good young guy. He's young. He doesn't have a ton of experience, but he's a good kid, and in fact, he was one of my field training officers when I went through the academy and 10 or so years ago. And he, typical of most of these guys, he had no knowledge of 26-150-D2. He didn't know issuing an open carry permit was even possible. He had never heard of it before, and in fact, we sat and looked at the penal code together. And he is supportive of the case. He says, wow, I'm totally supportive of that case. He wasn't like the old sheriff was pretty mad that I filed it. In fact, I got fired over it, basically. But, well, I was put on
permanent John Lopey. Leave of
absence. I was put on indefinite leave of absence,
yeah.
We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
But he is reconstituting the sheriff's posse, which I'm going to be a part of, and along with 50 or 60 of my best friends and however we can put that together. And he is supportive of Second Amendment. Now, in our discussions, we talked about the fact that the sheriff under penal code has to use forms that the Department of Justice authors, and no such forms exist, and that's one of the convenient reasons why no sheriff has ever issued an open carry permit. But he is not opposed to it. And so I want to be careful about this because I don't want to be too heavy-handed and turn the guy off to what's possible. But what we're looking for here is a hero. We're looking for a sheriff who will follow the Constitution, demand that those forms be printed. I got to be a little bit careful because my case would go away if they issued me a permit. Well, what are you angry about? You got a permit. Carry your gun. You know. So I got to be a little bit careful about that. But the point is we may well have an opening here where we can begin to restore Second Amendment guarantees in California. And if I am successful at that, I urge everyone, carry. I mean, carry. Don't, you know, if you have the opportunity, get people used to it. Get them used to seeing your weapon displayed in plain sight. Do it right. But, you know, in other words, if we can create a hole, let's drive a Mack truck through it.
Hey, I was going to ask you, how long do you think, I know we've been at this case for what, a year and a half, 2 years now?
Yeah, it seems like 10, but yeah, I think so.
Okay, is there any kind of time frame at all that you can give us? I know that that's a fairly new situation we have with the plaintiff down in Southern California. Is there any time frame you're looking at here? Is anything you can tell us about that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The way Judge Mueller did this is years. I mean, the way she went about it is the same way she handled the CFR case, and it would be years before we had a result with her. So this the PI and the summary judgment are the only ways that you can get a definitive ruling in any shorter time frame, and that's what we're hoping to do. We needed that plaintiff so that we could keep refiling that the preliminary injunction and request for summary judgment, because there are no facts left to discover here.
Yep.
In other words, Mueller said she wants discovery. She wants evidence. She wants expert testimony. Well, really, what do you need when the state admits that everything I've said is true? They admit that there is no exercise in the Second Amendment without government permission. They admit that concealed carry is a permission, not a right. They admit that open carry is banned by legislation. They admit that they've effectively legislatively banned an enumerated right. So there aren't any facts to discover. There shouldn't even be any testimony. You read that paper. The state admits that they have given all authority over who may carry and who may not carry in California to sheriffs and police chiefs.
The sheriffs again.
So then, Mark, all she wants is the case to go away. Is all she wants.
Well, what she wants is she wants me to die before the case gets closed. That's what.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
I know.
Look at poor George Young, the daughter that he brought that case to try to show her that the Constitution is reality, that he fought for and served for. She passed away before the case ever made it to court.
Yeah.
And now George, he's been in court, 10 years now? 10 years.
We're going to have to.
And he's still waiting for a decision.
We're going to have to go off to a break, but can you hang with us? Because I want to elaborate a little more, and I want to get Jesse and Gary in on this a little bit, okay?
Okay.
All right, stay with us, brother. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me every
time. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
We're back.
What are you doing, Travis?
He's messing with you. A
little bit.
All right, we're back.
I don't know what to do about you. We'll keep you, though.
Thank you.
Just throw money.
So, yeah, Mark, that's a pretty interesting situation, a pretty interesting thing you brought up, which a lot of people really don't know. The concealed carry is a privilege, and open carry is a privilege. So where is the Second Amendment anyway, my friend?
Well, I mean, that's the question that I'm telling the court they need to answer.
Right.
I mean, do we have rights? Or do we not have rights? Now, Murdoch versus Pennsylvania says that rights are not permissions and permissions are not rights and that you can't charge a fee for an enumerated right. And that was a case a while back, but it has never been overturned. It's never been set aside. So, you know, and we all know that that's the whole point is that our rights don't come from government. They come from God. God is above government's ability to change rights. And if a legislature can change the scope of a right, then what the hell's the point of having a constitution at all? So if every successive load of judges and every successive load of legislators can just change your right at a whim or whenever they want to or with an order or with a wave of a pen, then you don't have rights at all. And that's the point we're trying to make. Do we have a right or don't we? And the courts need to come down on this or else the people will have to come down on it themselves. In other words, once we've exhausted all of our options, then we have to resort to self-help. And we might have to, if Sheila Jackson Lee's bill makes it out, and there's no reason it won't. We have a monoparty in the federal government now. So they're going to try to confiscate center-fire semi-automatic rifles. They're going to ban ammunition, a licensing, registration scheme, insurance. They're going to try to treat your gun like they treat your car. And if the courts won't come down on the side of rights, then the people will have to seek that right on their own.
Well, and that's where people don't realize it's not going to happen all at once. People are like, they're never going to go streets taking. No, they're not. They're going to make it harder to buy ammunition. They're going to start outlawing piece by piece on whatever rifle you have.
Well, you know, there's an old saying, how do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time. Yep.
And that's what they're doing. They're eating the elephant that we used to call the Bill of Rights, one bite at a time, until you won't recognize it or it won't matter because it'll be gone.
You gave an example of William Penn. And can you give that example again about the three processes to where, you know, basically it really ends up going to people? Can you do that real quick for us? I thought that was really interesting.
Well, William Penn made the statement. He said, you know, he looked at Parliament. He said, well, you know, they made a little mistake with that law, and then something else happened. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Well, that must have been a mistake too. But when you suffer a long train of abuses that are literally dedicated to accomplishing all of them together in totality, or dedicated to accomplishing the same goal, which is tyranny and subjugation of the people, then you have to assume that there's a malignant and pernicious design behind it, and that these usurpations of liberty are by design, and then it is to the people to take action. Now, in this nation, we have three ways of taking action. You can take action through the legislature, you can appeal to the executive, or the judiciary. But once we have gone to the ballot box, the jury box, we're finished with the soap box, there's only one box left, and that's the cartridge box. So we've exhausted all the boxes. We only have one unopened box. And I think that those who think they rule over us need to realize that whenever there is a breach of a contract, which is a compact between people, who, in other words, the compact of Constitution is not between us and government. That's a misnomer. The compact is between us. The result of that compact is the formation of government to protect the rights of the governed. The government itself has no say, per se, in anything. They're the creation of the contract. They don't get to change the rules of the contract. That's for the people who created it. So whenever there's a breach of that contract, and the courts won't help you, and the executive won't help you, and the legislature won't help you, then that breach of contract means the contract's null and void, and people are free to seek self-help. Of course, that has ramifications, too.
Yeah, you know, and I think that, you know, it's sort of like you were saying that, you know, with William Penn, okay, that, you know, the first part of it is, okay, it's a misinstruction of what their lawful authority is, and the second time they do it, you know, it's like, okay, men are fallible. The third time they do it, well, if they do it again, we need to appeal to their noble nature, their honorable nature.
Right.
But if it continues and continues and continues, then where do you draw the line? And I think you just nailed it.
Yeah, you have to assume the worst.
You have to.
Doing it on purpose. And they are. They're doing it on purpose, and they know they're doing it. And so the open question is, what do we do about that behavior? And there are two answers, something or nothing.
Yeah,
and I say it should be something.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, locally, we're looking at here, I mean, we've got young men like Jesse and, you know, that are willing to throw their hat in the ring to stand up for the folks in city council, and that's good. I mean, we have to exhaust that position. I know that we have Patrick Jones who's been elected. Shasta County's got some amazing things done. We beat Measure A, where everybody and their mother was throwing money at that, and we just, in a grassroots effort, said, you know what? There is no way that we're going to be in a position where we're going to pay more money out for something that we don't need.
That's a very important point, though, because if you are successful in doing that, then what you have is a situation where you can have interposition by lesser magistrates with the full support and backing of the people, and that gives self-help an air of legitimacy. And look, if we don't do this morally, legally, and ethically, we will lose. The rule of revolution is whoever starts it loses. So what we need is lesser magistrates. We need local governmental agencies with the full support of the people. These guys cannot carry the water bucket alone, and they won't. They're too cowardly to carry the bucket alone. But if we are them, if we become them, if we stand for office like Patrick and like so many guys are in Shasta County, and we're also starting to do that in Siskiyou County, we have a fairly constitutional board, not perfect, but okay. But the point is, if you have a large agency that has the full support of the people and the backing of the people, they can stand between you and those who would steal your liberty.
That's true. And Mark, and we have about 2 minutes left. I know, Steve, you're on the line. It's 9:56. It's 9:57. We've got to give our guests the last word here. So, Steve, if you want to call back, you got something to say, you can always call on the Sovereign Minds right after us at 10 o'clock. So, Jesse, Gary, what say you, gentlemen? Jesse?
I like what Mark has to say. Mm-hmm. Seems like guy's a wealth of knowledge. I think
amen.
We just definitely have to start things locally. I mean, the change all of us are going to make is going to be local. And that's where we need to start our focal point. From here, we can be a beacon of light to other counties and cities and states, but it's got to stay local.
Absolutely.
Gary?
Yeah, I think, and I'm guilty of this myself, I don't think we have a right to sit on the couch and bitch about stuff. I think we need to get up and do something no matter what you, even if you believe in it 100% or not. Man, do something. Hear your voice. That's the movement we're going through, and that's the change for our world. Go for it.
And there are several different groups around here, especially in Shasta County and localized to Redding, that are being active and doing things and things that are appropriate for their organization, but they all have the same common goal. It's like they're all under the same umbrella that Terry always talks about. They're all doing it for the same common goal. We're all doing it for our family. We're doing it for our right to life here where we live, and we want to correct it. And so we're all working on it individually, but with the same common goal, and sometimes together.
And as an average person, I need to know more what avenues I can take as an average person. You know, we're not all Jessies. You know, what can we do, you know, to be as a more average person? I think a lot more people would stand up if we knew. Well, we were more educated.
Well, the one big thing that we're working on, that one of the groups that we're with is doing the recall. We're going to have a recall here in Shasta County. So if people want to get involved and learn what's going on there, and there are multiple people from different groups in that recall group. So that's the thing, too. People have to understand that. It's not just, you know, one myopically focused group of individuals. We're looking at all kinds of stuff. So we want to make sure that we're getting it out there. So
what's that group called if someone wanted to find you on Facebook or get in contact that group? How do they get in contact with you?
It'd be Reopen Shasta.
Reopen Shasta.
Yes. They can go on Facebook there, and they can start inquiring there and getting questions answered.
I'm a member of the group. I just wanted to say it out loud.
Yep.
What we want to do is we got about 30 seconds here. And, gentlemen, we want to have you back on again, the two of you.
Yeah.
That'd be great. And you bring your guitar. Anyway, so we want to have you guys back on again. And so I'm thinking maybe in a couple weeks, if you guys would like, we'd love to have you back on.
Perfect.
We'll talk a little bit, and we'll go through some specific things. But I'd really like to get into the constitutional sheriff thing. So, Steve, if you're still listening, that'll be your time to call in, brother. Okay, well,
Steve,
time has
thank
to
you.
Come.
451.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.